do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air. He's on the air. He's live. He's right here with us. Do you feel it? Do you feel it?
I feel it.
Are you on board with it? We're evangelizing. Okay. Okay.
At leisure, Jesus wants to show the way.
Turn the mic on.
If we take the time to ask him.
Oh well, we're having technical problems with microphones here. That's all right. We're used to technical problems.
Be thankful for
is it mine or is it his?
Jesus, when we want
a little technical problem. Probably didn't hear the opening.
I heard it.
You heard it? Yeah.
You
okay.
Didn't you hear it too, John?
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, if they heard him all over. He doesn't need a microphone to begin a radio show.
Okay, we're on.
Are we okay now, Trevor?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm
thanks,
so happy.
Trevor.
Thank you.
Okay, John, so here we are. Another day.
Another dollar. We all got raises.
Here we go. And we got a special guest.
John Marino from Catholic Lay Preachers. And we're just so happy that you're here, John.
Thank
Say
you.
Say hello to our people.
I'm happy to be here.
And your microphone is on.
And you're on, and I'm on. I can tell them on now. Yeah, and John
I have to tell the truth, though.
You did it.
I did it. I turned your microphone off. I finally got even. After you taped my mouth, I finally turned your microphone off. John, this guy has been talking for 3 years. He starts off every day waiting for the beat. And he said, don't leave that dial. Don't turn it.
He wants to be like me when he gets big. That's what it is. So anyway, let's get on with John. We got such a special guest. A guy that works endlessly for Jesus, for evangelization, got a background that's phenomenal. And I had the sheet, but Palmer pulled it out of my hand, so I'll let Palmer tell you his background.
John spent 30 years in the New York City Police Department. My stepson is a New York City policeman.
Oh, good.
But he was a lieutenant, weren't you?
When I retired, I was a lieutenant, yes.
And while on the job, he had a BA in theology and an MA in Catholic doctrine from St. John's University. Hmm. I love St. John's. I used to teach there. He retired and accepted a position on the retreat team at Bishop Malloy Retreat House in Jamaica. And you were there with two passionate priests and a sister for 13 years. And presently, he's associated with the Marianist Community of Priests and Brothers, offering retreat programs at the Emmanuel Retreat House in Kellenberg Memorial High School. And John's written two books, Spirituality for Police Officers and Evolution of Atheism Culture. And he founded the Catholic Lay Preachers as a vehicle to offer retreats and to market books and recordings of past programs. Married 62 years.
Wow, John, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm married 52.
Grandchildren and two grandchildren. How's that for an introduction?
Well,
did
it was
I miss
okay.
anything?
Two great grandchildren.
It was a great
two great grandchildren.
Two great grandchildren.
You know,
that's
John, it was a great introduction. I would have made it a little bit more exciting, but it was a great introduction. John, you got a great background.
Thank you.
I admire the work that you've done. I admire what you're doing and how you continuously stick to it and do your seminars and your talks and your books and stuff like that. One quick question: what brought you to Jesus? How did you start? I mean, you were a cop, so you saw it all. I mean, you had to see it all. What brought you to Jesus?
Well, I was away from the faith for over 20 years. First off, I had my first blessing was I had a really good Catholic education in grammar school. When I graduated at 14 years old, the nuns made you, I had the Baltimore Catechism.
Absolutely.
And I really knew my faith. I knew my faith better when I was 14 than a lot of Catholics, adults do today. So I had that, but I went to a public high school. And by the time my high school years were over, by the time I was 18, I had drifted away from the faith. I wasn't practicing the faith for many years. I went into the Navy for a short time, got married. Now I had family obligations, and then I got into the police department. None of that was really conducive to going back to the faith. But I had an incident where I got promoted to sergeant, and I got assigned to a new command, the 24th Precinct in Manhattan. As soon as I get there, I find out that the captain is promoting a retreat for police officers. And he let it be known very plainly that anybody who went on that retreat, life at the command would be much better. I went on that retreat simply to keep the captain happy, and it turned my life around. I managed to get to go to confession, which was the blessing of all, and I managed to turn my life around. I found my faith, but I found a faith that I once had. If I hadn't had that initial training, it would have been a lot harder. But I knew the faith. And I knew what I had to go back to. So I went to confession to Father Kenan Peters, who I still know and is still a friend of mine. And it turned everything around. I started doing promotion work with the retreat house. I got very involved in volunteer work at the retreat house. And that eventually wound up getting me a position on the staff at the retreat house. Wow. I wound up working there.
And I see you at the seminars, I see you at the conferences all the time, at a table promoting your evangelization work and stuff like that. It's like a never-ending, endless process to evangelize for Jesus.
John, I was wondering, when you came back to the religion, did you experience it differently? Did it change in any way?
Yes, it did. Of course, I was surprised by a lot of things. I have, remembered the Latin Mass. I remember going up to the altar rail, kneeling down, and having the altar boy stick the paten under my chin, and the priest could only touch the Eucharist with the two fingers.
Yeah.
So I remembered all of that, so I was a bit shocked by it. But my training, the program that I went through at St. John's, that program on Catholic doctrine was absolutely outstanding. I had some marvelous instructors there. My faith just blossomed there. I had Father John Harden. I don't know if you remember.
I love him.
Father John Harden. I had him for a whole semester on the sacraments. It was just an outstanding experience. The sacraments just, grew in value to me. Confession and Eucharist and... it was just, I think he's going to be canonized. I think he's going to be canonized, Father John Harden, eventually. Mm-hmm. It was just a marvelous experience listening to him.
And he makes everything so personal and intimate that the relationship you have with Jesus comes alive in the Eucharist.
And it was the first time that I really found a sense of holiness in a person. When he walked into the room, the whole room quieted down.
Yeah.
And it was that sense of holiness, a holy presence. The man was just outstanding. It was a marvelous experience to study under him.
And, of course, he's a big advocate of 24-hour perpetual adoration. No longer with us.
And you know what? The perpetual adoration is starting to take hold in many, many parishes now.
Good.
Many parishes.
John, tell us about the Catholic lay preachers. What is it? How did you get it going?
Well, it started when I was working at Bishop Molloy, when I was on staff at Bishop Molloy. I received a couple of invitations to go to communion breakfast as a guest speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the idea to form a group of trained speakers who were knowledgeable of the faith, who knew the faith well, and offered them to form this group and to offer them to various Catholic organizations when they needed a speaker. So the first one I incorporated under the name Catholic Lay Preachers, and the first one I invited into my little group was Tom Cook. Tom was my partner in the radio car for many years, and he was an excellent speaker. He gave a talk on the Passion that was very stirring. It's still around. I still have copies of it that I sell. And Tom joined me in my little group. But we got very few opportunities to speak. We got to do one mission. One parish invited us in to do an evening mission. So Tom gave the talk one night. I gave the talk the second night. And the priest, the pastor, said masses on both nights. So that was a nice experience. But most of those organizations, when they have a meeting like that, they prefer a priest, which I understand. Mm-hmm. So we got very few invitations to go anywhere. So I figured there's no sense in expanding it because we're not going anywhere with just the two of us. But then something happened that changed the whole focus of Catholic lay preachers. Father Benedict Rochelle got us permission to use the Emmanuel Retreat House at Kellenberg High School. He got us permission to run programs there. So now instead of going out to give talks, we were running retreat weekends, evenings of recollection, apologetics program with Father Paul Driscoll. And that blossomed. That just took off. We did very well with that. We invited priests in to give the programs, and I drew from the Franciscan Friars of Renewal were absolutely fantastic for us. Rochelle came in, Apostoli came in, Marius Koch, a whole bunch, and they all came. And once you put out that Benedict Rochelle was going to be there, the house just filled up. You didn't need anything else. Benedict's going to be there, the house filled up. And I took some of my Passionist priests, the friends that I had made with the Passionist community. They came in and did programs for me. And I even drew two of my professors from St. John's. Monsignor Graham came and Monsignor William Smith.
Oh, wow.
Both great speakers. And they all came in and gave different programs for us. And that took off. We did very well with that.
So you're still active with doing seminars and talks and things of that
well,
nature?
Well, health concerns made Tom retire. He's not with me anymore. I mean, he's around, but he's not able to help me anymore. And now I'm almost 83 years old too. So the weekend retreats got to be too much for me. But what I do now is I still do the evenings of recollection occasionally, once a month usually. I have Father Paul Driscoll still coming in to do his apologetics program. And I host the diocese pre-Cana program.
Wow.
So those things I'm still involved
You're
in.
You're one busy dude.
Yeah, well, I try and keep at it as much as I can, as much as I'm physically able.
And you just have a new mission statement to encourage the faithful Catholic laity to accept their role in evangelizing and defending Catholic teaching, to offer materials that inform, inspire, and guide their efforts. To suggest the role of Catholic lay preachers reaching out to one soul at a time, which we love. That's our mission
statement.
And to respond to the need of an engaged, articulate, and well-informed laity as called for by Pope Benedict XVI, Pope Benedict Emeritus. What a wonderful thing you're doing. You're reaching out.
You know, when I was at Bishop Molloy, I became aware of a great need in the church for catechetics for the adults, adult catechesis. I met, now people who go on retreat, they're good Catholics. You don't go on a weekend retreat if you're not really involved in the faith, not usually anyway. But I found that even among these people, they held beliefs that weren't in keeping with Catholic teaching. When you started talking about real presence in the Eucharist or infallible teaching, they held kind of ideas that just weren't in key. They needed a catechesis for adults.
Right.
I started a program. The retreat house was closed in July. There was no program in July. I went to the retreat director and I said, look, I have an idea. I want to run a weekend program in July. The retreat house is closed anyway. I said, but it's going to be in a retreat format, the way we run a retreat. But instead of the talks being pastoral, they're going to be educational. Each speaker is going to come in. I'm going to invite speakers in, and each speaker is going to have a different topic. But it's all going to be in teaching the Catholic faith as it's supposed to be. Well, the retreat director kind of rolled his eyes. He didn't think it was going to go anywhere. Well, he was shocked as I packed the house. A lot of Catholics are looking for this.
Oh,
they want good catechesis. They want the teaching.
You know, 30% of the parishioners for the Protestant churches were former Catholics, and they switched over to the Protestant churches simply because they weren't being fed. And you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Well, I think you got the right focus there, baby.
Well, those weekends became the most popular thing of all. So when I left Bishop Molloy and I went over to Kellenberg, I started doing a program there. And the most successful weekend I ever ran, I ran a weekend program. Each weekend had a theme. So I ran a weekend program on the encyclicals of John Paul II. Mm. I packed the house. Oh, the man. House was filled.
Absolutely.
But I had Father Andrzej Skliczewski, he's a tough name, come in and give a toy. Now, he's from Poland, and he was a great advocate of John Paul II.
And he's a great speaker.
Gave a marvelous speaker. Gave a marvelous presentation on John Paul II. And I had a whole staff there. Paul Driscoll took part of it. He did one at a time.
Oh, good buddy.
Each speaker had a different topic. I think, if I recall, he did the Gospel of Life. Christian Family. I did a talk on the Christian Family, all encyclicals from John Paul II. Marvelous weekend.
Do you have those on CD?
Everything is on CD.
And can
I have everything
people
recorded.
Get them from
People can. That's what our marketing doing.
How would they get them?
Marketing.
Tell us.
Well,
how can they get
it's very easy if you have internet access. Internet access. You just come on my retreat with my website, thelaypreacher.com. That's my website. Or if as an email, it's laypreach, laypreach at optimum.net.
Okay.
Either one of those ways you can make access.
Say that again. Say your website again.
Laypreach, laypreach at optimum.net. That's my website.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that's my email address.
Great.
But the website is the best way, because the website, I have blogs written there. People can read some of the blogs I've written they might find interesting. I have a lot of stuff in there that people might find.
And if they have any questions, they can email you? Are you,
email,
you okay
absolutely,
with that?
Absolutely.
But you seem to be extremely knowledgeable. More so than I can probably ever hope to be.
More so.
Oh, yeah. I would say.
John, may I link your website to my website?
Oh, I would love that.
Charge him, Johnny.
I would love that.
Charge him. Of course.
No,
I have a website, holyspiritwithin.net, and it's really meditations. But I would love to link into your site so that they could get those talks on John Paul.
Help that I can get promoting the website.
So you know what? I was going to say I'll link you into our website. Listen up, Jesus is on the air.
You do both.
And I will. And I will link you up. So if they click on our link, they'll go right to your website. And then John will do it without a fee, for sure.
The only reason why I'm saying that is my website is like an electronic school of spirituality. And I go into spiritual growth.
Not a $50. That's a commercial.
Yeah, well.
That's a commercial.
I understand what you're saying, Tony, but it is something really that would connect and be very special to have your input from your website.
I would love that. Anything that expands my base of people that I can contact is important.
Well, I have 65,000 people who've been on my website.
Wow. Oh,
and I'd love to have
Getting traffic to a website is the big problem when you're starting out that way.
Well, it's done through Lincoln like that.
It takes a long time to get that going.
It's done through Lincoln. 65,000, you say how many people did you have at your website?
65,000.
Wow.
And it started because, it's not about my website, but it started because in the beginning, coincidentally through grace, I was linked to Father Gerald Burke, who did Sacred Space, and he has 22 million people on his website.
Oh my God.
So I'd love to try and see if we could help you in that way.
That would be helpful, and I would love that. That would be a tremendous
help.
Tell
us more about the kinds of things that you are marketing here.
I was very interested in catechetics. My focus now has become evangelization. I really feel that that's a very important aspect. And what I'm encouraging people to do is to, we all should be Catholic lay preachers. Every good Catholic
absolutely
should realize that as an obligation, as a part of their faith. So in order to encourage that and maybe give a little guidance, I wrote a short, well, about a 9-page guide, a helpful guide for suggestions on how to do that. And people can get that free. I offer it free. If you have internet access, I offer it free over the internet. You just go into my website or you can go on to my email address, laypreach@optimum.net, and just request free guide, and I'll mail it to you through as an email. It's a 9-page suggestions, and it has some good helpful hints there as to how to get started reaching out to people. What I ask people to do when I first approach people to become a lay preacher, I think about this. Think about all the people that you love, all the people in your life that you care about, and then think about how many of them are leading the life that God calls them to. That's your congregation as a lay preacher. Those are the people that you have to reach out to, the people you care about. Who else is going to tell them about God if you don't?
Absolutely.
And that's where your preaching starts, to those people that you care about.
You wrote a book about atheists, the culture of atheists, and I happen to see a line on page 7 that sort of like fits your mission statement. It tells the story. It's in the second paragraph, and it says, "So atheists and even those who seek less God as opposed to a godless society have an effect upon the lives of us all, because they affect, their atheistic tendencies sort of affect other people." And I think that's the battle that you're fighting. You're overcoming that atheistic tendency that's trying to be embedded into all of us.
That book that you'll, it's my second book, Evolution, Atheism, and Culture. It started with a reading of Darwin's work and finding some real contradictions in there, some really things in there that I just couldn't believe. And I began to think about how that theory, a very faulty theory, is affecting so many lives. It is the Bible, it is the core of atheistic teaching. And atheism is changing our culture. Atheism is changing the way we live, and people are not aware of it, or they don't see where it's coming from. But I wanted to attack that first, to explain to people how that theory is faulty, to show them what atheism is doing to our culture. I'm 82 years old. Now that's a lot for a person. It's not a lot for a culture. But when I think back the way life was maybe 50 years ago and look at it the way it is now, you can see what's happening to us. I was watching television the other night with my wife. We were watching Wheel of Fortune. We like that show. And a woman, each contestant introduces themselves at the beginning of the show. The woman gets up there and she says, "Oh, yes, and I live with my very funny boyfriend." 20 years ago, would any woman ever say that on national TV?
Aye, aye, aye.
And what would happen 20 years ago if your child came home from school and said that the teacher was talking about sex?
Mm.
What would have happened? Or if your 15-year-old daughter came back and said that she's got the morning after pill, she was given the morning after mm-hmm. pill, or your son comes home from high school with a condom? Where was the outrage about all that?
And that began with Mary Calderon with the Sex Education Information Program 40, 50 years ago, because she felt that parents weren't educating their children about sex. And our question at that time was, hey, how long does it take to educate a child about sex? 15, 20 minutes. But you're talking about attitudes. That's what she did. And she got into the public schools with the culture that she espoused, and that's how it took over. It began through her, and now it's in every school program.
They teach sex education in every school. They do, honestly. And people like you and I, to us, that's like was unheard of in our day.
Political correctness supersedes God's commandments or the teachings of the church.
Yeah.
Because
that's where our people are. When the Supreme Court, for most of my time in the police department, abortion was a felony.
Yeah.
But now the Supreme Court said it was okay. So now many Catholics seem to think that, well, because the Supreme Court said it was okay, well, it must be okay.
Mm.
Well, that's what this whole my whole book on evolution was about. And I offer that very inexpensively. I sell it for $5 a copy. I want people to, I just want to get it out there for people to look at it and learn from it. It's $5 a copy plus $3 for postage. I got to pay for it to have it mailed out. But they can get it again by going to my website. They can get the book for $5 and $3 for $8 to get the book.
You know, John, I don't want to lose that discussion about the culture of death versus the culture of life. It's such an important theme that we must stand up and fight against. Trevor, can you put on song number 6? I want you to listen to the words of this song. Listeners, listen to this. It's a statement about life. Canada, because of abortion, they have lost over 11% of their population. In our country, in our state, but in our country, it's almost 8% of would-be members of our civilization have been killed. It's horrendous. And like you said, it was against the law. But now it's okay because of women's rights to control their body. And this position of our church is you should control your body beforehand.
You should control your actions beforehand.
What you do with your body. Yeah. Go ahead.
There's a chapter in a book there on the demographics of what's happening because of abortion, how whole nationalities will disappear.
Yeah.
Japanese, the Italians, they're not replacing. There's a certain birth rate you need. I know it's in the book. I can't remember it exactly. But there's a certain birth rate you need in order to replace your population. And in many nationalities, they're not doing that. Yeah. And whole nationalities will disappear. And not only that, but, you know, religion also, the Catholicism could disappear that way too. Well, God, Jesus promised us it won't. But we're not replacing the Catholics either the same way. And the Muslims are reproduced. They don't believe in any abortion or contraception or anything. They're reproducing like crazy.
Yeah, but, this abortion thing can affects a lot of things. It also really tremendously affects the economy. And so it has an adverse effect that people in many ways that people actually don't realize. And I'm surprised that Congress doesn't realize the adverse effect of abortion.
What about our governor? He's expanding.
Our governor is just
wrong.
Yeah, you're right, John.
I know I'm right. I'm always right. Didn't I tell you that?
Yeah, you always tell me that.
But you know, they had on the March for Life in Washington. I'm sorry I'm off on this topic, but I think it fits in with evangelization.
Yeah, oh, it sure certainly does.
On the March for Life, they had two women that they interviewed, and they were asking them what they thought about abortion in terms of rape and incest. And they both said, we are children of rapes, and we have a right to life, just like anyone else. And how dare you not allow us to live? We happen to live because our mothers did not have an abortion. And when we were born, our mothers were healed of all the anxiety due to abortion. Isn't that something? I don't want to go on the crusade too much today, but if you really get me later, you'll hear me. I'm so opposed.
Well, just a little personal insight on that. When my daughter was pregnant with my granddaughter, the doctor, the testing showed that there's going to be something the matter with her, with the child, mm-hmm. and that suggested having her aborted. And when my daughter refused, she said, no, I would never consider an abortion. The doctor actually recommended counseling, that she should go for counseling because she refused to have an abortion. Hmm. Well, that child that she refused to have aborted just was awarded a full scholarship for her doctorate at Delaware University.
Wow.
The best.
She's gorgeous. She's intelligent. There's absolutely nothing the matter with her. And that doctor was recommending that she be aborted.
The best argument against abortion is Steve Jobs. You know who Steve Jobs is? The person who started all this Apple. Yeah, yeah. He was destined, suggested to have his mother to have an abortion, and she didn't. And look what happened.
Well, that Tim Tebow was another one, that football player. His mother,
absolutely.
Too. Tim Tebow's mother was told.
But your granddaughter is a perfect example.
Unbelievable.
A perfect example of what this abortion thing does and what it could affect. And not bring to fruition something that God wanted.
All those children that were aborted, whatever contribution they could have made to society,
it inhibited. Stopped.
We didn't get
paying taxes.
That's the economy.
The economy.
That's what I'm talking about. You hit it on that. What a smart guy you are, Palmer. You are unbelievable.
But really, but that's why your organization of lay preachers, being one at a time. being so important?
Well, I think so, and I that's been my focus. As I say, the concept of Catholic lay preachers has evolved from, as I said, just going out to give talks at meetings to running retreat programs, and now this aspect of encouraging everybody to become a Catholic lay preacher and to get involved with. You don't have to get up into a pulpit. When I was in the police department, I was reaching out to my fellow police officers. I had a couple of very good experiences. All I had to do was let it be known that I'm a person of faith. I've told everybody, let everybody know that I'm a person of faith, and I know the faith. I know the Catholic faith. And also let it be known that you can come and talk to me, that I'll listen. I'm a good listener. And I'm not going to be judgmental. I'm not going to jump all over you if you tell me something crazy. And people start coming to you. People started coming to me. I had some marvel. But in the police department, my pulpit was the radio car in the station house. Wherever you are, that's where your pulpit is, and your congregation are those people you care about. If people could get that concept in their mind, it would be such a tremendous help, having everybody reaching out. When I go to the gym, it happened just a couple. When I go to the gym, I still manage to go to the gym. I wear this crucifix on the outside of my workout gear. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, just the other day, some man comes to me and shares with me, he's a baptized Catholic, received all the sacraments, and now he's an atheist.
Yep.
So, and off, we went.
Yes, you can call on St. Michael the Archangel to enter the battle with you.
Absolutely.
Because he's there. And Tony, I somehow think you're going to talk about him.
Oh, yes, I certainly am. This is a continuation of our talk about angels last week. Of course, we spoke about Raphael and St. Gabriel. And
Trevor, could you put on number three?
We promised to talk about St. Michael the Archangel. Now, we mentioned a little bit about angels last week and doing a study on them. And John, I think, studied and did a talk on angels. So I have to watch what I say because he knows a lot about it. The Beau Johns.
I'm an angel. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, I know. I always say you were an angel. In any event, who are these people, angels? What are they? We mentioned last week they're a creation of God at the beginning of time. He created angels for specific reasons, specific purposes. Just so happens that angels don't reproduce themselves. They're there, they're created, and that's them. They're given special powers, like a computer. God wired them with all the knowledge that they should ever have. They were given that knowledge, and they were created for different purposes. There are nine choirs, am I saying that correctly? Nine choirs, yeah, of angels. The first is the seraphim, that's the highest, and all they do is praise and glorify God. That's their job. Just so happens, and I never knew this, the eighth and ninth choir is where St. Michael, Raphael, and St. Gabriel came from. And the ninth choir is our guardian angel. But let's talk about the eighth choir, the next to the lowest of the archangels. So we know that St. Gabriel was meant to be a messenger. We know that St. Raphael was meant to be a healer, and he appeared in the Bible with Tobias, I believe, in the chapter. Tobias, sorry. And so Michael is an archangel.
He's a fighter.
And he was called upon when Lucifer, an angel with mighty powers and very, very substantial, refused. When God shared his plan about having a son and sending him down to earth, and that he would be part of the Holy Trinity, it's my understanding that Lucifer refused to accept it because he did not want to worship a human being. He wanted to worship a God man. And also refused, when he heard about the Blessed Mother and to pay homage to the Blessed Mother, the Mother of God, of Jesus. And so he rebelled because, you know what? All the angels were given the same gift that we got, free choice. And Lucifer says, I will not worship other than a God man. And he rebelled. And he had angels follow him. And so God called upon Saint Michael from the eighth choir to approach Lucifer. And they battled. And Saint Michael won. And they dumped Lucifer down, 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 down.
And that battle was still going on today.
Still going on. And so anyway, this is the story of the Bible, that long ago, the angel Lucifer, when he tried to overthrow God, Lucifer is said to have been a kind of dragon. But Michael, the first of the archangels, was able to defeat him. And he defeated him with his power that was given to God. And now he is worshipped in many religions, not only in the Catholic religion. He's called upon. Michael appeared to humans in the Old Testament. He spoke with Abraham, and he appeared to Moses. The Jews regarded him as their special protector, helping them to win battle against battle. He's also important to the Muslims, and he's described in their holy book. Christians think of him as a protector of the church. He's also said to guard high places, and he's called upon in times of trouble. And when Satan attacks us, and Satan attacks each and every one of us in one way or another and tempts us, and he's called upon. Although Saint Michael is known as the protector of all people, he's believed to look after people, especially at the time of their death, because that's the important time, at the moment of your death. It's that time when Lucifer works the hardest to try to get you away and bring him to damnation and to hell. And so that's when Saint Michael steps in and
you know,
protects
Tony,
our
a
souls.
Lot of people don't believe that that war is real, but it is very real.
Oh, many people imagine him as taking them from the boat, the boat of salvation. So they're thinking of Saint Michael as lifting them up at the moment of death and bringing them into the boat of salvation. And there are special prayers.
Saint Michael, Saint the archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. Do thou, O
And
that the power of God cast into hell Satan, all the evil spirits who roam about the world seeking the ruin of souls. You say that's all, and then you can add my little thing. Lord, put that pitchfork where the sun doesn't shine and get that guy the hell out of here.
You have a way with words, Palmer. And thank you for trumping me and reading the prayer, but that's okay. He always does that, John. I don't mind that. Anyway, so that's the power of Saint Michael. He was given the power by God to defeat Lucifer. Now Lucifer knows it, but everyone thinks that Lucifer is winning the warfare today. But you know what? He's not going to win in the long run, because it's determined that Lucifer is going to lose, and God, of course, and Saint Michael will triumph, and we will triumph over Lucifer.
And that's what you're doing, John. Mm-hmm. You're in your way over these many years. You're standing at the head of the class, attacking the culture of evolution and atheism that's designed to take away our freedom and the rights given to us by God, not by man, but by God. I don't know if you want to talk to that, John.
No, I appreciate what you're saying. You know, it's been a struggle over the years, but I just want to just throw out something Scott Hahn said that kind of is on the money with this. We live in a point in history where atheism is shoving its way into the public square and noisily declaring the need to remove religion. Gone are the days of polite atheism. Christianity is under attack.
Absolutely. You know what? And it's showing. It's showing. It's showing in our government. It's showing all over the place.
But it's not only Christianity that's under attack. It's all humanity.
See, what's happening, atheists used to be, well, all right, I don't believe you believe, you know, everybody, it was okay. I don't believe you believe, that's okay. But now the atheists of today believe that religion is a problem. Richard Dawkins, the writer Richard Dawkins, he believes that atheism is what's causing all the problem in the world. Richard Dawkins came out and said that if you teach your child your religion, you should be charged with child abuse. That's what he actually came out with. So that's why they're being so antagonistic towards us. They believe that religion is a source of difficulty in the world. And that's what we're up against now.
Yeah.
And this applies to Trevor and to your religious church where I went several weeks ago. We're all in the same war. We just don't recognize that there's a need for unity, to join together, because if we don't, we're going to be dead.
And you know what doesn't help either? Those people who claim they believe in God, but they believe in the God that they create. They create their own God. And it's a God that doesn't ask a lot of them. It's a God who loves them just the way they are. They don't have to change. And the Catholic Church, well, we'll see what they teach that I agree with, okay, but if I don't agree with it, that's okay, too. I don't have to abide with
Cafeteria
it.
Cafeteria Catholics.
That's part of our problem. The people who profess a belief in God is still part of the problem if they don't recognize the teachings of the Church, the commandments, the message that Jesus gives us. We have to live the message that Jesus gives us.
And, you know, it's not just the teaching of the Church. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit in His kingdom of love within us that teaches us truth. And the more we vary from that truth, the more we're going to be in trouble. I see it. I see it everywhere. I see it in private practice. You see it in business,
oh,
Tony.
Absolutely.
You see it in your ministry. Trevor sees it in his church. You know.
But the beautiful thing is that God and Jesus loves us so much that they will never forsake us, and that we have a place to turn in trials and tribulations. There, without God, there is an empty hole when we go through trials and tribulations. With God, we have some place to turn to.
You know, I would like to say a prayer right now, because our country, America, is one nation under God. And why don't we just join our hands and listen, as maybe you can help us. I don't care what religion you are. We ask Jesus, enter the hearts of everyone who can hear our words at this moment and tell them, wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee. You have sour milk mixed in, and we want to remove that sour milk. And we call on Saint Michael the Archangel to help us and defend us in that battle. Because that battle is as real as you and I and John holding hands and Trevor having his head on his shoulders in the other room. We're asking. We don't care, Muslim, Catholic, Christian. We don't care. Jewish, join us together to fight for the right for life that you have given us, Lord. We're on fire. Maybe I'm more on fire today than I usually am. But I feel such a heat in my gut saying, hey, listeners, if you don't wake up, they're even going to put our radio show off the air because we are countercultural. Did you realize, listeners, that the Department of Defense has come out with a listing of radical groups? And the radical groups are the jihad, the Muslim, we heard that, but also Catholics, evangelists, Christians are radicals. Can you believe that our Department of Defense is doing that? That's ridiculous. We're a minority? We're a problem? No, we are the center of life in our society. We just don't speak up. That's why your work, John, is so important. Just getting the message out. Everyone can evangelize. I don't care what your religious belief is. Stand up and say there is a God. One nation under God.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
What we say again and again and again. And I know I'm... Go ahead, Tony. You're going to say...
And well, it just conforms my theory. It's time for us to be bold. And John, I hand you my accolations. Thank you for being bold.
Well, why not? Hey, at my age, And we're not too far distant in our... Three old guys sitting here holding hands saying, we're going to play football with life in the world of man, and we're going to score a touchdown. And if we lead others into that battle, isn't that a great thing for us to do?
Absolutely.
Why not?
Absolutely.
You know? And I
Three
think
great
kids,
head old grouchy guys. Here
I bet
are.
If you look at your kids, they're living with someone. They're whatever their problems are, they're not going to church. They're sliding down that whole evolutionary, atheistic sliding pond. And it's going to go into muck and mire. And we ask St. Michael the Archangel, light a fire under our listeners. Get them off their fannies and out into the world and say, like John said, I wear my cross when I go to exercise. And people who have lost their way will come to people like John and Tony and Trevor and ourselves and say, I'm lost. Can you help me? And that's where Michael the Archangel is working in that person and bringing them to fight for their right to have life with the freedom that our country has. If we're not careful, we're going to lose that. And it doesn't look very healthy right now, because when it's people our age standing up with our pacemakers and our prostate problems and saying, hey, we believe. Where the hell are you guys? Are you on board with this, or are you hiding out underneath your rock of evolution, which is not truth? Evolution and atheism tries to make you God. I got news for you. You're not God. You're not God, and you never will be God. And your idol of the God you create is going to fall apart and never deliver. But the one true God does deliver. He's there.
And that's the good news, John.
And he's in us.
That's the good
he's
news.
He's in us.
That our God.
I'm getting off my soapbox now. Oop, I fell off our my
God,
soapbox.
Our God delivers. Our God delivers. That's the good news. We don't have to go through trials and tribulations alone. We can have God hold our hand.
And God is not Catholic. I don't know how to tell you this.
No?
No, he's not Catholic. He's not Jewish. You know, in fact, I asked him one time, God, what religion do you belong to? He said, I was Jewish, and that didn't work out so well for me. You know, when you think about it, God is God. He's love, and he's inside of you. Whatever your religious belief system is, live it to the fullest. Live it to the fullest and make yourself known as a God-fearing, God-loving person. Oh, boy, am I having fun today.
Oh, you have. And you said it all. The silent majority must not remain silent. It's time to speak up, time to defend our religion, time to show our love to God, and time to say, hey, we're Catholic and we love Jesus.
Yeah, and that song, America.
And it makes life better.
It makes life better, John.
This life is better for my faith. Not
absolutely.
So much. It's not only that I look forward to a hereafter, but it makes this life better. It
and
gives us a strength, a comfort, a joy.
And our Jesus wants to be our best friend. And isn't that so awesome that our best friend's Father is the creator of the universe? Can you ask for anything better?
And you know, if you put Jesus or God or whatever you call the higher power, if you want, at the center of your life, you won't have so much need for anxiety pills,
Palmer,
or Prozac, or anything else.
You're terrific. You lit the fire, Palmer.
Yeah.
You lit the torch. Now hold that torch and run out with it.
Thank
and
God.
Light the world.
We have a policeman here and not a fireman. We don't want that fire out.
Good job, Palmer.
John, tell us some of the things that you do on a regular basis.
You know, one thing I like to get out, if a person doesn't have internet access, if they really want to get my book or the guide, the suggested guide, they could use my phone number.
I was just going to suggest that, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't give it on the air, though. Just have them contact Tony at listenup.
Listenup, 1240 at AOL.com. Listenup. 1240 at AOL.com. We respond to every email. We respond to every request. And if you send requests for the books, we'll get them to you. By hook or crook, you'll get that book.
And you,
thank you so much, Tony. That's very
Trevor,
helpful.
Our
thank
pleasure,
you.
John.
Trevor, are you there? I would like number four so we can go out. If we're coming to the end so fast.
John, you lit the fire. I'm so amazed. I'm so on fire because of your talk. Thanks.
Good. Well, we're going to pray that that fire stays alive in everyone with the song The Prayer by Barbara Streisand and Celine Dion. What a beautiful rendition. Yes.
And thank you, listeners. Thank you for listening.
Thank you,
we
John.
Love you. Thank you, John, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
I really enjoyed being here.
Thank you. We enjoyed having you. Thank you, Palmer. And please pray for our petitions.
We will.
Thanks.
And help us to be one in times when we don't know. Let this be
on this program are entirely ours, and we hope they become yours now and forevermore. And we want you to write in to Tony at our website to get in the boat as a lay preacher reaching out to one soul at a time by John Moreno. And you can also get it at The Preacher.
Get it free on the internet. Yeah.
What's your website again?
The best way is on an email. It's laypreach@optimum.net. Laypreach, LAYPREACH @optimum.net.
And by the way, I'm going to be at St. Catherine giving out free Bibles, free rosaries. If you want a book, come over to me, give me your name and your address, and I'll get it mailed to you. And I hope I see you at St. Catherine's to give you a free Bible and free roses.
And if you're not there, we're going to send out St. Michael the Archangel after you, and you got no choice. You've got to be there. Trevor, thank you.
Thank you, Trevor. Thank you so much. Thank you, listeners. We love you.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.